Hi there, my Israelite brothers and sisters. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is part 6 of The Priesthood. This paper is found in the main menu at www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. In parts 1 through 4, we covered the patriarchal ministry of the Order of Melchizedek. It is interesting that the names and the meanings of the names of each patriarch form a revealing message. Adam means man, Seth means appointed, Enos means mortal, Canaan means sorrow, Mahalalel means the blessed of God, Jared means shall come down, Enoch means teaching, Methuselah means his death shall bring, Lamech means despairing, Noah means comfort and rest. Put those meanings into a complete sentence and you get, the God-man is appointed. A mortal man of sorrow is born. The glory of God shall come down and teach that his death shall bring the grieving comfort and rest. If we look at what the names spell out from the patriarchs in the order of Melchizedek, we get Adam, which means mortal, Seth means appointed, Enos means mortal, Canaan means sorrow, Mahalalel means blessed of God, Jared means descent, Methuselah means his death shall bring. Noah means rest. Shem means name. Arphaxad means healer or releaser. Canaan means possession. Salah means sprout. Eber means beyond. Reu means friend. Nahor means snorting, an expression of indignation. Isaac means laughter. Jacob means supplanter, and Israel means God prevails. Joseph means Yahweh has added, and Moses means drawn. Put those together, and it can read, the man of God is appointed mortal sorrow. The blessed of God shall come down, and his death shall bring rest to those called by his name, a healer and releaser of his possessions that are sown and sprout in the regions beyond, a friend and counselor to those in indignation, who are the children of laughter, the supplanters of wickedness, whom with Elohim prevails and rules, because Yahweh has added to his people divine influence and has drawn his people.
Wow!
In part 5, we began our study on the second stage of the priesthood, the Levitical office. The patriarchal order, which lasted 3,400 years, transitioned to the office of the Levites, which they held for 1,600 years until the time of Christ. Upon his sacrifice, he became our high priest, and his order ended the Levitical priesthood, the priests, and all the law of ordinances that went with the priesthood. The rituals, sacrifices, men as high priests, and men as mediators between God and the people, all came to an end. Yes, we Israelites are all priests because we are a holy nation, a priestly nation, but we are all on the same level. And we are priests of our own household. Anyone claiming to be a priest or mediator to God is a fool, because there is only one mediator now, Yeshua Christ. We learned that Levi was the priestly tribe, and his sons were the priesthood to the nations of Israel until the time of Christ. We covered the testament of Levi, in which he was teaching his children piety and right ruling. He tells his children that he was shown a vision regarding the priesthood and its latter days, how it would become corrupted and pollute the word of God. We also saw in the Testament of Levi that he spoke of a 70-week prophecy. This was a reference to Daniel's 70-week prophecy. In Daniel's prophecy was the details of what Yeshua would do, which was to end the transgressions of Israel under the Old Covenant, in which the people needed a priesthood to atone for their sins. Yeshua made an end of sins. But this was not the end of sin, like the churches teach. It was the end of sin to those who responded to the divine influence of the law written on the heart, and who took hold of the gospel and obeyed it and lived it. The gospel is not about just believing. It is about putting away the old man of sin and putting on the new, educated, obedient, new Christian man. The 70 weeks prophecy was also about making a reconciliation for iniquity. The priesthood of men could only make a temporary reconciliation. Yeshua's blood was a permanent reconciliation, so long as you continue in the way. Christ also brought in everlasting righteousness, which is justice according to following the law. He also sealed up the vision and prophecy, which means he ratified this prophecy during the first advent. This was fulfilled at Calvary. The prophecy of Levi and Daniel also stated that the Most High would be anointed, which he was, by a woman in Bethany with an alabaster box of ointment. We learned that this prophecy began with the decree of Artaxerxes between 458 and 457 BC. 70 weeks of years, which equals 490 years, which, if you add to the date of the decree of Artaxerxes, brings us to 33 AD, the sacrifice, death, and resurrection of our reigning high priest of the order of Melchizedek. We also learned in the Testament of Levi that the priesthood's last days would have 7 jubilee periods, which the first few were righteous, but as time went on, it became corrupt. Levi also prophesied that the last period would be taken over by idolaters, adulterers, lovers of money, lawless, and abusers of children and beasts. This was because during the last 100 years of the priesthood, the sons of Esau crept in. Esau is Edom. His children are Edomite Jews. Herod, an Edomite Jew who tried to murder Christ as a child, had the Levites murdered and replaced the priesthood with Jews, which is why none of the people recognized Yeshua or his teachings. This is the same reason why our people today have no idea who Yeshua is and do not know or even want to know his teachings. The churches are not worshipers of Yeshua Christ, Yahweh God, or even know his word. They don't know who they are because they identify as trans-Gentiles and they worship a Jewish Jesus. The churches today are just as corrupt as the Jewish infiltrated priesthood of Christ's time. When Christ cursed the fig tree, he was cursing the Edomite priesthood and their fruits. And they're no different than today's churches, who are cursed and their fruits are rotten and wicked. They do everything in the name of Haimi Jesus, the high priest of darkness. This will all come to an end when our kinsman redeemer, savior, God, and high priest returns. Now let's continue our study and cover the 7 jubilee periods of the priesthood and its last days. A jubilee period lasts 49 years. What I did was divide the 7 jubilee priesthoods and found who served during those periods and included whatever I could find about them. I did the best I could with the information I found, and I believe it fits and connects the dots. Here's what I came up with. From the Testament of Levi, chapter 5, "And whereas you have heard concerning the 70 weeks, hear also concerning the priesthood, for in each jubilee there shall be a priesthood, and in the first jubilee, the first who is anointed to the priesthood shall be great, and shall speak to God as to a father, and his priesthood shall be perfect with Yahweh, and in the days of his gladness he shall arise for the salvation of the world."
Jubilee period, 308 to 260 BC.
Onias the first, son of Jaddua, who was high priest between 320 and 280 BC.
1 Maccabees 12:7. "There were letters sent in times past unto Onias the high priest from Darius, who reigned then among you, to signify that you are our brethren, as the copy here underwritten does specify. At which time Onias entreated the ambassador that was sent honorably, and received the letters wherein declaration was made of the league of friendship." 2 Maccabees 3:1. "Now when the holy city was inhabited with all peace, and the laws were kept very well, because of the godliness of Onias the high priest, and his hatred of wickedness." 2 Maccabees 15:12. "And this was Judas Maccabeus' vision, that Onias, who had been high priest, a virtuous and a good man, reverend in conversation, gentle in condition, well spoken also, and exercised from a child in all points of virtue, holding up his hands, prayed for the whole body of the Judahites.
Judahites were those of the tribe of Judah. Judah is not Jews. Simon the First, son of Onias, was high priest from 280 to 260 BC.
He was described as the sun shining upon the temple. He was president of the Sanhedrin. He turned people away from Greek culture.
Sirach 50, verse 1. Simon the high priest, the son of Onias, who in his life repaired the house again, and in his days fortified the temple. Verse 11. When he put on the robe of honor, and was clothed with the perfection of glory, when he went up to the holy altar, he made the garment of holiness honorable.
According to Josephus, Antiquities 12, 2, 5, this Simon was called the Just, on account of his piety and his benevolent disposition towards his countrymen. So we see that Onias the First and Simon the First were righteous and perfect with Yahweh, as Levi prophesied.
The Testament of Levi, chapter 5, verse 4. In the second Jubilee, he that is anointed shall be conceived in the sorrow of beloved ones, and his priesthood shall be honored and shall be glorified by all.
The second Jubilee, 259 to 211 BC.
Eleazar, son of Onias I, was high priest from 260 to 245 BC.
Eleazar was the high priest involved in communication with Ptolemy II, Philadelphus, discussed in the letter of Aristeus. According to the letter, Eleazar sent 72 scholars, 6 from each of the tribes of Israel, to the island of Pharos in order to provide the Library of Alexandria with a Greek translation of the Hebrew law, also called the Septuagint.
Manasseh, son of Jaddua, uncle of Eleazar, was high priest from 245 to 240 BC.
He was given a choice of divorcing his foreign wife or of leaving the priesthood.
Onias II, son of Simon I, was high priest from 240 to 218 BC.
He was called a man of little soul by Josephus, a covetous man, and of limited intelligence. He did not pay Ptolemy III the yearly tribute for years, which resulted in Ptolemy sending an official to collect the money.
Simon II, son of Onias, was high priest from 218 to 185 BC.
Josephus says that this Simon, in the conflict of the sons of Joseph, sided with the elder sons against Hyrcanus the younger.
So we see that Eleazar was a good priest and was honored with putting the Greek Septuagint into translation. We also see some sorrowful issues with the other three priests.
The Testament of Levi 5:5, and the third priest shall he be taken hold of by sorrow.
The third Jubilee, 210 to 162 BC.
Simon II was succeeded by Onias III, son of Simon, who was high priest 185 to 175 BC.
He was murdered in 170 BC. Onias III was succeeded by Jason, son of Simon.
Jason was high priest 175 to 172 BC.
Jason was the last of the Zadokite dynasty. Zadok was a descendant of Aaron.
4 Maccabees 4:15. But on the death of Seleucus the king, his son Antiochus Epiphanes succeeds to the kingdom, a man of haughty pride and terrible, who, having deposed Onias from the high priesthood, appointed his brother Jason to be high priest, who had made a covenant, if he would give him this authority, to pay yearly 3,660 talents. And he committed to him the high priesthood and rulership over the nation. And he both changed the manner of living of the people and perverted their civil customs into all lawlessness.
Jason offered to pay Antiochus in order to be confirmed as the new high priest in Jerusalem. Antiochus accepted the offer. Jason introduced the program of Hellenization that eventually led to the Maccabean revolt.
Hellenization is Greek culture. Menelaus was high priest, 172 to 162 BC.
Menelaus and his acts are found in 2 Maccabees. Menelaus is said to be of the tribe of Benjamin. According to Josephus, he was a brother of Jason and Onias III, and his name was Onias. The account in 2 Maccabees states he was the brother of the notorious Simon, who suggested to the Syrians the plundering of the temple. He was thus of the tribe of Benjamin, 2 Maccabees 4:23, 3:4, and not properly eligible to the high priesthood.
So we see the murder of Simon II. We see the last Zadokite priest in Jason, who paid Antiochus for the priesthood, and Menelaus, who was not eligible to be high priest because he wasn't a Levite, he was a Benjaminite.
The Testament of Levi, 5:6, and the fourth shall be in pain, because unrighteousness shall gather itself against him exceedingly, and all Yisrael shall hate each one his neighbor.
The fourth Jubilee, 161 to 113 BC.
Alcimus was high priest, 162 to 159 BC.
Alcimus is covered in 1 Maccabees and chapter 14 of 2 Maccabees.
1 Maccabees 7:9. And Bacchides did King Demetrius send with that wicked Alcimus, whom he made high priest, and commanded that he should take vengeance on the children of Yisrael.
The missing high priest, 159 to 152 BC.
It is unknown who held the position of high priest in Jerusalem between Alcimus' death and the ascension of Jonathan. Josephus, in Judean Antiquities, 20:10, relates that the office was vacant for 6 years. It had been argued that the founder of the Qumran community, the teacher of righteousness, Morey Zedek, was high priest, but not necessarily the sole occupant during the intersacerdotium, which was driven off by Jonathan. This view is based on sources from the Qumran that portray the teacher as a figure of authority, usually associated with the high priest, however, without clearly spelling out names or events.
Jonathan Aphis was high priest, 153 to 143 BC.
1 Maccabees 2:5, chapters 5 and 9 through 14. His name means the diplomat. He was the youngest of the five sons of Mattathias.
Simeon Tassi, brother of Jonathan, was high priest, 142 to 134 BC.
1 Maccabees 13:8 through 11, Josephus, Antiquities, book 13, 6:4. He was the second son of Mattathias. The name Thassi has a connotation of the wise, which can also mean the director, or the guide, or the man of counsel, and the zealous.
John Hyrcanus, son of Simeon, was high priest, 134 to 104 BC. John Hyrcanus closed out the fourth jubilee and was high priest 8 years into the fifth jubilee. It was during the fifth jubilee when the darkness took hold. So we see that Alcimus was wicked, and the acts of John Hyrcanus caused division in Israel. This began the decay and end of the priesthood, which had become chaotic, disorganized, increasingly apostate, and eventually replaced with Edomite Jews.
The Testament of Levi, 5:7. The fifth shall be taken hold of by darkness. Likewise also the sixth and the seventh.
The fifth jubilee, 112 to 64 BC.
John Hyrcanus the first, son of Simeon Tassi, 134 to 104 BC.
Hyrcanus was not present at a banquet at which his father and his two brothers were murdered. Hyrcanus permitted the Idumeans, the Edomite Jews, to remain in their country as free men if they would circumcise their genitals and observe Israelite law.
This was against Israelite law and Yahweh, as the Edomite Jews were not Israelites. This also allowed the Jewish infiltration of the Levitical priesthood.
The Jewish Encyclopedia, 1903 edition, says under the heading Edom, They were then incorporated with the Judahite nation, and their country was called by the Greeks and Romans Idumea. From this time, the Idumeans ceased to be a separate nation, though the name Idumea still existed in the time of Jerome.
Idumea was the territory of the Edomite Jews. Judea was the territory of the house of Judah. When the Edomite Jews of Idumea were incorporated and merged with the land of Judah, it became called Judea. Judeans were then a territory with Jews and Israelites living together, which is one of the big reasons that everyone is deceived by the lie that the Jews are Israelites.
The Pharisees asked Hyrcanus to relinquish the position of high priest, Josephus, Antiquities 13, 288 through 296. He sided with the Sadducees, which were an all-Edomite Jew sect.
Aristobulus I, son of John Hyrcanus, was high priest 104 to 103 BC.
2 Maccabees 1:10. In the 188th year, the people that were at Jerusalem and in Judea, and the council, and Judas, sent greeting and health unto Aristobulus, King Ptolemaeus' master, who was of the stock of the anointed priests, and to the Judeans that were in Egypt.
He was the eldest of the five sons of John Hyrcanus. Aristobulus was referred to as Philhellene, meaning he was an admirer of Greek culture. Josephus states that he was the first Judean in 483 years and 3 months to have established a monarchy since the return from the Babylonian captivity.
If you add 483 years, which is 69 weeks of years of Daniel's prophecy, to 103 or 104 BC, it equals 587-586 BC, which was when the house of Judah in Jerusalem was deported to Babylon.
Aristobulus was not only the first king from the Hasmonean lineage, but the first of any Hebrew king to claim both the high priesthood and kingship title. The Pharisees felt that the kingship could only be held by the descendants of the Davidic line, and began a massive rebellion, but Aristobulus died before any attempt to dispose of him could occur.
Alexander Janius, son of John Hyrcanus, was high priest 103 to 76 BC.
Alexander inherited the throne from his brother Aristobulus I, and married his brother's widow, Queen Salome Alexandra. From his conquests to expand the kingdom to a bloody civil war, Alexander's reign has been generalized as cruel and oppressive with never-ending conflict. He was an avid supporter of the Sadducees. During the Feast of Tabernacles, Alexander Janius, while officiating as the high priest at the temple in Jerusalem, demonstrated his displeasure against the Pharisees by refusing to perform the water libation ceremony properly. Instead of pouring it on the altar, he poured it on his feet. The crowd responded with shock at his mockery and showed their displeasure by pelting him with citrons. Outraged, he ordered soldiers to kill those who insulted him, which led to the massacre of 6,000 people in the temple courtyard. With further frustration, Alexander had wooden barriers built around the altars preventing the people from sacrificing and denied daily offerings except for the priests. This incident during the Feast of Tabernacles was a major factor leading up to the Judean Civil War by igniting popular opposition against Janius.
John Hyrcanus II, eldest son of Alexander Janius, was high priest 76 to 66 BC.
Hyrcanus II had scarcely reigned 3 months when his younger brother Aristobulus II rose in rebellion.
Aristobulus II, son of Alexander Janius, was high priest 66 to 63 BC.
Aristobulus II was a supporter of the Sadducees. Pompey defeated the Judean armies in multiple battles and took the fortresses of Judea. Aristobulus and his sons, Alexander and Antigonus, were captured in 63 BC. The Sixth Jubilee, 63 to 15 BC.
John Hyrcanus II, restored as high priest, 63 to 40 BC.
63 BC, Hyrcanus II was restored to his position as high priest, but not to the kingship. Political authority rested with the Romans, whose interests were represented by Herod Antipater, who primarily promoted the interests of his own house, Edomites.
Antigonus, son of Aristobulus II, was high priest 40 to 37 BC.
He was fifth generation from the Maccabean brothers, known as Antigonus the Hasmonean, and was the last Hasmonean king of Judea, a puppet king installed by the Parthians. In 37 BC, Herod handed him over to the Romans for execution.
The Herodian Roman Period.
Herod Antipater was an Edomite Jew as attested by Josephus in Antiquities 14:8.
See also 14:403, 14:120-121, Wars 1, 123, 312-313.
Where he states that Herod was a certain friend of Hyrcanus, and that Herod was an Idumean. When Herod secured power in Judea, he put all the principal men of the land to death who were connected to the Hasmoneans, the Maccabees. Not long after his own death, after a failed sedition against him, he again had all the principal men of Judea gathered into the Hippodrome and had them all slain. Then Herod installed his own brood of Edomite Jews into the priesthood. This Herod was also the one who ordered all infants 2 years and younger slain in hopes to kill the Christ child. Herod represents the dragon in Revelation 12:4. Ananelus was high priest 37 to 37 BC.
Though of priestly descent, he was not a member of the Hasmonean dynasty. The Mishnah, Para 3:5, identifies him as Hanamiel the Egyptian, while Josephus, Antiquities 15:2-4, identifies him as being from Babylon. He was appointed by Herod to fill the office of high priest made vacant by the death of Antigonus.
Aristobulus III was high priest in 36 BC.
He was the last of the Hasmoneans and brother of Herod's second wife, Mariamne I. The youthful Hasmonean, however, was too popular with the patriotic party. Though he was a brother of Mariamne, Herod's beloved wife, he was treacherously drowned at Herod's instigation in 35 BC, and Ananelus was restored to the high position until 30 BC.
The last priest in the sixth jubilee was Joshua, or Jesus, ben Phabas. He was high priest from 30 to 23 BC. I didn't find anything on him.
The seventh jubilee, 14 BC to 33 AD.
Simon, the son of Boethus, 23 to 4 BC. And so forth. These last four and the ones that follow were Edomites put into the priesthood by Herod, who had the Levites gathered into the Hippodrome and slaughtered.
The Boethusians were a Jewish sect closely related to, if not a development of, the Sadducees. They lived in luxurious splendor and did not believe in an afterlife or the resurrection from the dead. A parallel to the Yama 19b from the Talmud has Sadducees instead of Boethusians, and in other passages, the Talmud undoubtedly uses these two terms indifferently in designating the same sect.
The Boethusians were Jews. Annas was high priest 6 to 15 AD.
This was Annas, the Edomite high priest in Luke 3:2. John 18:13-24, and Acts 4:6.
Caiaphas, 18-36 AD, was the last high priest when Christ was murdered by the Jews.
This was Caiaphas, the Edomite high priest in Matthew 26:3-57, Luke 3:2, John 11:49, 18:13-14, 24:28, and Acts 4:6.
Annas and his son-in-law Caiaphas were Edomite Jews, Acts 4:6, and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. The priests at this time were Edomite Jews. The priesthood had to come to an end because it was saturated with devils.
The Testament of Levi 5:8, and in the seventh shall be such pollution as I cannot express before men, for they shall know it who do these things.
In this seventh jubilee, the high priest was Simon, son of Boethus. He and those after him were Edomite Jews installed by Herod. These Jews were not Israelites. They were not Levites. They were impostors posing as Levites. They taught Judaism, which is a perversion of the laws of Moses, and the origin of Judeo-Christianity. Yeshua exposed this corrupt, apostate, and reprobate priesthood as devils in the flesh. John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God."
Testament of Levi 5:9. "Therefore shall they be taken captive and become a prey, and their land and their substance shall be destroyed. And in the fifth week they shall return to their desolate country, and shall renew the house of Yahweh."
The fifth week was 112 to 64 BC. The Maccabees defeated the Seleucid Empire, which existed between 312 and 63 BC, restored the land of Israel as a Judean province, rededicated the temple after 8 days of effort to cleanse it from the pollution of Antiochus Epiphanes, and purged the Judean society of idolatry to prepare it for the time of the end.
Daniel 11:35.
This became known as Hanukkah, the rededication of the temple, the miracle of the oil.
The victorious Maccabees could only find a small jug of oil that had remained uncontaminated by virtue of a seal, and although it only contained enough oil to sustain the menorah for 1 day, it miraculously lasted for 8 days, by which time further oil could be procured.
It was Yahweh who made the oil to miraculously last.
The Testament of Levi 5:11, "And in the seventh week shall become priests, who are idolaters, adulterers, lovers of money, proud, lawless, lascivious, abusers of children and beasts."
The seventh week is when the Levitical priesthood was replaced with Edomite Jews by Herod the Edomite Jew. Herod was the tetrarch and puppet king of Judea, who tried to have the Christ child murdered.
Verse 12, "And after their punishment shall have come from Yahweh, the priesthood shall fail."
The priesthood failed because it was of men, and because it was replaced with Jews. This was the end of the second stage of the priesthood, which lasted 1600 years. The only known Israelites in or associated with the priesthood at this time were Flavius Josephus.
Titus Flavius Josephus was a Romano-Judaite scholar, historian, and writer who belonged to the first century. Josephus initially served as a priest, like his father, but remained unsatisfied with the limited knowledge he had at the time. To understand life better, he decided to stay in the wilderness for a while. Upon his return, he decided to be a Pharisee. His fate turned him into a military general by the Sanhedrin. He was a fifth-generation descendant of the high priest Jonathan.
Paul of Tarsus, Acts 23:6, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question. Acts 26:5. Which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee. Philippians 3:5. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Yisrael, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Paul thought that he was doing God's service when he was a Pharisee. He wasn't. Yeshua set him straight on the road to Damascus. The same thing is going on in today's churches and in the hearts and minds of our people who are members of any of the 33,000 denominations of so-called Christianity. They are all brainwashed by Jewish hokum, just like Paul was. Gamaliel, Acts 5:34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space.
His grandfather was Hillel the Elder, who founded the lenient version of Pharisaism. Gamaliel became Hillel's successor, leading the Pharisaic movement. Luke's statement that he was respected by all the people is actually somewhat of an understatement. He was the most respected, most influential Judean alive at this time. It is for this reason that Paul cites study under him as a prominent feature of his teaching, Acts 22:3. Because he was the leader of the Pharisees, he brought this emphasis on leniency into the deliberations of the Sanhedrin, where he served as co-chair along with the high priest. He is said to have been associated with the development of the Talmud and founding the school of Tanaim.
Whether he is an Edomite Jew is not known. His respect among the people, his favor toward the apostles, and his teacher-student relationship and concern for the scattered Israelites shows him to be an Israelite in my mind.
Gamaliel focused on the importance of study and the teacher-student relationship. He reached out to scattered Israelites. Like his master Gamaliel, Paul can be seen in the New Testament mentoring younger students, reaching out to Israelites scattered among the nations.
Nicodemus.
Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin who secretly visited Yeshua Christ at night because he suspected this young teacher might be the Messiah promised to Israel by God. He helped Joseph of Arimathea care for and bury the body of Christ. Nicodemus, whose name means innocent of blood, stood up for Jesus when the Pharisees were conspiring against him. Nicodemus, who had gone to Yeshua earlier and who was one of the Pharisees' own number, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing?" John 7:50-51. Nicodemus, a man of great wealth, donated 75 pounds of expensive myrrh and aloes to anoint the Master's body after Yeshua died. This amount of spice was enough to fittingly bury royalty, signaling that Nicodemus had recognized Yeshua as king. He also defied the Sanhedrin and Pharisees by treating Yeshua's body with dignity and assuring that he had received a proper burial.
Nicodemus, by these works and recognizing Messiah as king, proves Nicodemus was not a Jew. Joseph of Ramathaim, or Joseph of Arimathea.
He was a prominent member of the Sanhedrin, the court which condemned Yeshua to death. Joseph risked his reputation and his life by standing up for Yeshua. Joseph of Arimathea was the uncle of Mary, and thus a great uncle to Christ by direct relationship. He was a man of great means and great influence, and he was also one of the Essenes. The whole site of Glastonbury in Britain belonged to Joseph of Arimathea, where he founded the Glastonbury Abbey. Joseph owned tin mines, and Christ traveled with him between the ages of 12 and 30, and visited many universities in Britain. Glastonbury is the place where Mary was buried.
Upon the death and resurrection of Christ, the office of the Levitical priesthood expired, the rituals and ordinances were done away with, and Yeshua Messiah became our high priest of the order of Melchizedek. His death made the corrupt Edomite priesthood and their added decrees and ordinances void as well.
The Testament of Levi 5:13, Then shall Yahweh raise up a new priest, and to him all the words of Yahweh shall be revealed, and he shall execute a righteous judgment upon the earth for a multitude of days, and his star shall arise in heaven as of a king, lighting up the light of knowledge as the sun the day, and he shall be magnified in the world. He shall shine forth as the sun on the earth, and shall remove all darkness from under heaven, and there shall be peace in all the earth. The heavens shall exult in his days, and the earth shall be glad, and the clouds shall rejoice, and the knowledge of Yahweh shall be poured forth upon the earth as the water of the seas. And the messengers of the glory of the presence of Yahweh shall be glad in him. The heavens shall be opened, and from the temple of glory shall come upon him sanctification, with the Father's voice as from Abraham to Yitzchak. And the glory of the Most High shall be uttered over him, and the spirit of understanding and sanctification shall rest upon him in the water. Luke 3:22, And the set-apart spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, saying,
You are my Son, the Beloved. In you I did delight.
Verse 23, For he shall give the majesty of Yahweh to his sons in truth forevermore, and there shall none succeed him for all generations forever. And in his priesthood the nations shall be multiplied in knowledge upon the land, and enlightened through the grace of Yahweh. In his priesthood shall sin come to an end, and the lawless shall cease to do evil. And he shall open the gates of paradise, and shall remove the threatening sword against Adam, and he shall give to the saints to eat from the tree of life, and the spirit of holiness shall be on them.
Proverbs 11:30, The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is winning lives is wise.
Verse 27, And Belial shall be bound by him, and he shall give power to his children to tread upon the evil spirits. And Yahweh shall rejoice in his children, and be well pleased in his beloved ones forever. Then shall Abraham and Yitzchak and Jacob exult, and I will be glad, and all the saints shall clothe themselves with joy.
Revelation 7:9. After this I looked and saw a great crowd, which no one was able to count, out of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, saying, Deliverance belongs to our Elohim, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.
Verse 30, And now, my children, you have heard all. Choose, therefore, for yourselves either the light or the darkness, either the law of Yahweh or the works of Belial. And his sons answered him, saying, Before Yahweh we will walk according to his law. And their father said unto them, Yahweh is witness, and his messengers are witnesses, and you are witnesses, and I am witness, concerning the word of your mouth. And his sons said unto him, We are witnesses. And thus Levi ceased commanding his sons, and he stretched out his feet on the bed, and was gathered to his fathers, after he had lived 137 years.
So the office of the priesthood went to Levi and his sons, and we just went over a lengthy examination of the testament and prophecies of Levi, which he told to his sons just before he died, that the priesthood would become corrupt and come to an end with the death of Messiah. The patriarchal office of the preacher of righteousness, Melchizedek, from Adam to Nahor II, and possibly including Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, came to a close, and the tribe of Levi then had the responsibility to teach righteousness. This began the second stage in the order of Melchizedek. The office went to the Levites. The first stage of a single eldest patriarch being high priest to the families of Adam to the second stage, which was an office of the sons of Levi, of which they were priests to the nations of the families of Jacob Israel, who are also a priestly nation to all the families of Adam kind. The third stage of the order of Melchizedek began its transference with the immersion by John, the unwitting facilitation of Caiaphas's adjuration, and when Christ had risen from the dead, becoming our high priest and ending the priesthood and all its ordinances. He holds this third office and order of Melchizedek forever. We saw in the Testament of Levi that just before the time of Christ, the priesthood would become wicked and apostate. Although the Levitical priesthood had its ups and downs in righteousness, the time of John Hyrcanus and his circumcising of Edomite Jews, and King Herod's slaughter of the Levites and installment of Edomites into the priesthood was the beginning of the end of the priesthood. The priesthood had become entirely corrupt and infiltrated by Jews, and the distinctions between Jews and Israelites were not so obvious. This is why Christ's death ended the priesthood, not only because he became our high priest and only mediator to God, but because the priesthood had been taken over by Jews. The same thing happened in all these 33,000 so-called Christian denominations. Jewish influence and our own ignorance have repeated the lies of Jewish fables and counterfeit doctrines, and now our people are walking in darkness, worshiping a Jewish Jesus, and believing fairy tales of love, personal salvation, the rapture, and bacon. This will all come to an end when Yeshua returns. Now back to the sons of Levi. Kohath was the second son of Levi. His name means assembly.
Gershom was the firstborn, but he must have done something to forfeit his birthright, as attested in the Testament of Levi, chapter 350, where Levi saw in a vision that Gershom would lose his rank.
Kohath's sons were Amram, Hebron, Uziel, Izhar, and his son Korah. The Kohath clan were responsible for the care of the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the article of the sanctuary used in ministering, the curtain, and everything related to their use.
Numbers 3:31-32.
Korah challenged Yahweh's decision of appointing Aaron and his sons as the chief priests, and paid the ultimate price for it. The rebellion of Korah. Numbers 16:3. And they gathered themselves together against Moshe and against Aharon, and said unto them, You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and Yahweh is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of Yahweh? And Moshe said, Hereby you shall know that Yahweh has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. And the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. Korah and his cronies tried to elevate their Levitical status with a challenge to Moses and Aaron. With this act, they also challenged Yahweh, who had placed Moses and Aaron in their positions. This example also shows that in the case of Genesis, with Cain and Abel's offering, Abel's was accepted, Cain's was not. Cain was not Adam's son. If Cain was the firstborn son, Abel would have been challenging the order of the patriarchal priesthood and would have been destroyed, just like Korah and his men were. This example also shows that Levi knew what he was talking about in his testament that his children would go against the way. Kohath's son Amram bore Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. Amram means exalted people. Aaron was the first chief priest of the office of the priesthood. His sons were Eleazar, Ithamar, Nadab, and Abihu. Leviticus 10:1, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aharon, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Yahweh, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from Yahweh, and devoured them, and they died before Yahweh. Again, Levi in his testament foretold of the abominations his sons would do in the priesthood. Aaron's sons Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of their father Aaron. Eleazar had 16 sons, and Ithamar had 8 sons. Moses appointed Eleazar as high priest after Aaron died. Phinehas assumed high priest after his father Eleazar died. Then his son Abishua, his son Buki, ancestor of Ezra, then Uzi, son of Buki. The sons of Ithamar were Eli, 1 Samuel 4:18. Because of his unrighteousness, his seed was thrust from the priesthood. Below is his lineage. The sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. 1 Samuel 2:34. And this shall be a sign unto you that shall come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day shall die both of them. Ahitub, son of Phinehas and grandson of Eli, assumed high priest. Then his son, Ahijah. Then Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, became high priest during the reign of King Saul, killed by Doeg the Edomite Jew, part of the curse on the house of Eli, that none of Eli's male descendants would live to old age. Ahimelech's son, Abiathar, was high priest during the reign of King David and early years of Solomon. He was a fifth-generation descendant of Eli and deposed from office of high priest, which went to the house of Zadok. Fulfilling the other part of the curse on the house of Eli, that the priesthood would pass out of his descendants. Also in the line of Ithamar was Hilkiah and Jeremiah. 1 Kings 2:26. And unto Abiathar the priest said the king, Get you to Anathoth, unto your own fields, for you are worthy of death, but I will not at this time put you to death, because you bear the ark of Yahweh Elohim before David my father, and because you have been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto Yahweh, that he might fulfill the word of Yahweh which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. Jeremiah 1:1. The words of Jeremiahu, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. Then Zadok, son of Ahitub, of the line of Eleazar, became high priest during the reign of King Solomon. The Aaronic Priesthood. As a result of the failure of the Israelites to observe the gospel law administered by Moses under the authority of the Melchizedek priesthood, Yahweh gave an additional law of performances and ordinances, and confirmed a priesthood also upon Aharon and his seed throughout all their generations to administer it. This priesthood was of lesser power and authority than the priesthood of Melchizedek, and was used to administer the outward ordinances, particularly as characterized by the ceremonies of the law of Moses. The terms Aaronic and Levitical are sometimes used synonymously, although there are some specific differences in the offices existing within the Levitical priesthood. For example, the lesser priesthood was conferred only upon men of the tribe of Levi. However, within the tribe, only Aaron and his sons could hold the office of high priest. And, still further, from the firstborn of Aaron's sons was selected the high priest. Thus, Aaron and his sons after him had greater offices in the Levitical priesthood than did the other Levites. The privileges of the priests were greater than those who functioned in the other Levitical offices, and a distinction between the two is evident when the Scriptures speaks of them as the priests and the Levites. 1 Kings 8:4, "And they brought up the ark of Yahweh, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up." Ezra 2:70, "So the priests and the Levites and some of the people and the singers and the porters and the Nethinims dwelt in their cities, and all Yisrael in their cities." The Nethinims were not Levites or even Israelites. They were the descendants of Esau that beguiled Joshua and the people into believing they were kin from afar, and got them to swear not to kill them. These Nethinims were of the caste of the Gibeonites, and I believe were part of the infiltration of the priesthood even in the days of Joshua. During the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities, the conquering kings placed Sepharvaim Jews in the land.
2 Kings 17:24.
In the time of King Herod, the Edomite tetrarch of Judea, he slaughtered the Levitical priesthood and replaced them with Edomite Jews. There were only a very few Israelites in the priesthood by the time of Christ, whom we covered, such as Paul, Nicodemus, Uncle Joseph of Ramathaim, and possibly Gamaliel, and a couple others. Today, these Jews have infiltrated our nation and control everything. We once more find ourselves in Egypt, captivity. John 1:19, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" The Pharisees did not come to John because they believed him. They really came in order to see what he was doing and by whose authority. John was sent to cleanse the sons of Levi, as it is evident at Malachi chapter 3. John's having called certain of the Judeans a race of vipers by itself indicates that the Jews are certainly not Levites. The priests could offer sacrifices for the people, burn incense on the altar, and teach the law, whereas the other Levites were employed in more menial tasks, such as the housekeeping of the tabernacle, keeping oil in the lamps, transporting the Ark of the Covenant, taking down and setting up the tabernacle when moving, and related tasks in assisting the priests. The account of Korah's rebellion against Moses and Aaron delineates some of the differences between the duties of the priests and those of the Levites. It also shows the error of aspiring to offices in the priesthood. Levite companions sought for the high priesthood, but as they found out, they were unworthy, and Yahweh destroyed them. The Aaronic priesthood continued with the house of Aaron among the children of Israel, from Aaron until John the Baptist, who was a priest in the Aaronic order, and by this authority he prepared the way for Yeshua. John was the last legitimate Levitical priest. Yeshua is our reigning high priest forever.